Next item on the agenda, Rockets Landing 06-0326. Proceed, sir.
Mr. Bowman, members of the commission, good day. Rockets Landing is requesting...
This is Randy Owen.
Randy Owen. Requesting authorization for 2,218 linear feet of riprap revetment, floating debris ice deflector, and an 87 slip marina with fuel dock at their property on the James in the city of Richmond and Henrico County. Both wetlands and Sebacus permits are required today. The project actually straddles the Richmond-Henrico County line with the majority of the property in Henrico County, approximately 1 mile downstream from the I-95 crossing up in downtown Richmond. The river at this location is approximately 470 feet wide and supports both recreational boat traffic and commercial barge traffic. There is a 200-foot-wide federal project channel that runs upriver and terminates about a 0.4 mile upriver at the Richmond Locks. Just a photograph of some barges sitting in the river opposite the Rockets Landing property. The upland portion of the property is currently under redevelopment as an urban mixed-use community to include condominiums, retail stores, as well as, I believe, at least one restaurant. The property was formerly zoned industrial and was home to Richmond Cedar Works. Looking downriver on the left is the property. The shoreline is largely unhardened and is currently experiencing some erosion. There is a tidal mud flat along the property length. There are, however, no vegetated tidal wetlands due in part to the steepness of the bank and the overhanging trees which shade the shoreline. This is a cross section of the revetment that will be constructed along the project's length. And some stakeout, you see four orange stakes there that represent the channel would reach of the revetment or the toe of the revetment. As proposed, the revetment will impact approximately 0.6 of an acre of non-vegetated wetlands or mudflat and approximately 0.24 of an acre of Sebacus bottom. And just another stakeout, you can see looking at that bank, there's a stake here that represents the toe of the revetment, and then the top of the revetment will be up the bank here. Originally, the project was submitted in February 2006, and it called for a 151-slip marina that encroached halfway across the federal project channel. Well, that drew a lot of problems with the Coast Guard and Corps of Engineers as well as staff. So what you have before you today is an 87-slip marina that meets a 25-foot setback from the edge of the federal channel. That agreement was reached with the Coast Guard and the Corps earlier this year. This is a plan view depicting one of the six floating dock sections. You can see that it will maintain the 25-foot setback from the edge of the channel. Each of these floating dock sections will meet that setback, and all are anchored to the bank with what's called a stiff-armed anchoring system. This is a cross-section of that system. You have a series of concrete pedestals in the bank to which there is a steel tube bolted from there down to the floating dock section, and it will accommodate a 35-foot rise in river elevation. The hydrologic data from the Richmond Locks indicates that during a 100-year storm, this river will crest 35 feet above mean high water and run in excess of 10 knots. This is a photograph of the stiff-arm anchoring system in a lake in Washington State. You see the concrete pedestal in the bank, a steel tube, which is bolted on both ends. VIMS describes the project area as a migratory pathway for anadromous fish, habitat for striped bass, largemouth bass, blue catfish, and spawning habitat for river heron and American shad, and possibly sturgeon. They do question the need to tow the revetment to a depth of minus 5 feet at mean low water, and suggest that the base width of the revetment should be uniform in width and not variable along the shoreline. And lastly, they do caution that the design of the marina should be able to handle the flood elevations and tidal velocities of the Upper James during storm conditions. DGIF, Department of Game and Fisheries, recommends an in-stream work time of year restriction of February 15 to June 30th to protect anadromous fish. DEQ and DCR have no objections to the project, and the Department of Health advises that the project has obtained all of the necessary approvals for the required on-site sanitary facilities. I'm going to leave you with this final slide and move right to my summary and recommendations. We have no objections to the revetment. We think that it will not significantly adversely impact either tidal wetlands or subaqueous lands. As far as navigation goes, they've reached a setback agreement with the Corps and with the Coast Guard. We do continue to have our concerns for siting a marina in a riverine environment prone to extensive flooding and high debris loads. However, you know, we have been advised by the project engineer that it's designed to meet on-site conditions. So, accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project, and after considering all the factors contained in Section 28.2.1302.10b of the Virginia Wetlands Act and 28.2.1205a of the Submerged Lands Law, we recommend approval of the project as revised for 87 slips with a 25-foot setback from the channel, contingent on the applicant's agreement to adhere to an in-stream time of year work restriction of February 15 to June 30th to protect anadromous fish, and the submittal of a fuel spill contingency plan. Additionally, a royalty in the amount of $149,230 for the encroachment over that same square footage at $1 per square foot. And lastly, just to reiterate, you are acting today both as the wetland board, since Richmond and Riker have not adopted the local wetland ordinance, as well as your normal duties under the state and subaqueous encroachment.
Thank you very much, Randy. Anyone have any questions for Randy? Randy, I have one. The design of the actual dock system, floating dock system, mm-hmm. Is one that's robust, to say the least. That's gone through a couple of different iterations of design to come to this final conclusion. In other words, it's been some significant research put into what would be the best system to put in under the potential hazards for storm. Is that correct?
That is my understanding.
Okay. Thank you. Is the applicant here represented? Mr. Daniel, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Commissioner. Nice to see you all.
Good to have you here.
Thank you. Mr. Schick, congratulations on your reappointment. Mr. Lane, welcome.
Thank you.
I think congratulations. Maybe you can go on. It's a hardworking group, as you are about to find out. Good morning. I am here today. My name is John Daniel. I am here on behalf of Rockets Landing, which is the vision of a number of individuals over several years. The project is being developed by the WVS LLC company out of Northern Virginia, and it brings to the easternmost portion of the city of Richmond and the westernmost portion of the east end of Henrico County a mixed-use development of unparalleled thought and proportion. With me from Rockets Landing today are Mr. Larry Wilkes and Jeff Holder, and also in attendance to respond to other questions you may have specifically about the anchor system is Mr. Coy Butler from the firm of Moffitt and Nichols. The project itself sits on what was once an industrial site. It was pollution impaired, it obstructed river access, and it was frankly an eyesore to the eastern gates of the city of Richmond. It is truly a brownfield development project. It is transferring the unusable to a significant use, which benefits both the city of Richmond and the county of Henrico. Recognizing the rich history of the site, its prior life as a major ferry site that once was a bustling riverfront town, the developers went to work to bring that viability and that opportunity back to the site. The developers have frankly brought to life a pedestrian-oriented new urban community, which is fast becoming a very modern version of the settlement that thrived in that same area as early as the 1700s, long before the American Revolution, and which was later revived and expanded during the steamship era. The area was named for Mr. Robert Rocket, who established a ferryboat business in the area in 1730 to move both people and goods up and down the James River. Rockets itself once defended the city from naval attack, ultimately succumbing to the infamous fire that engulfed the capital city. And by the time Abraham Lincoln came ashore at the site, he could note only the smoldering ashes of the city in the distance. To put this in perspective for the issues before us today, in the 1700s, at the height of the ferry boat system that once sat on this site, there were over 900 ships moored in this area. Today's request is for a mere 87 slips to complement the revival of the area and the replication of the area's very rich history, and to provide additionally an amenity which is in strong demand and currently unavailable to access the revitalization and the downtown Richmond area. The Rockets' proposal is for 48 30-foot slips, 18 35-foot slips, 6 45-foot slips, and 15 50-foot slips. I am, as Randy was pretty brief given the long history of our discussions on this project, but as always, win, lose, or draw in these matters, I'm most appreciative of the staff's professionalism and the time that they spend in preparing for these hearings and preparing you all to involve yourselves in these discussions. Randy has made more than one site visit. He has altered his calendar on many occasions to meet with us to appreciate the various modifications which have come to this project over the years, and for that I am remain personally grateful. I am pleased to tell you that we do concur in all respects with the staff's report as it's been presented to you this morning, and further, unless there is somebody who has snuck in behind me, I'm not aware of any protestants to the project in any shape or form. We do believe that, as the staff does, that we have met all the criteria of Chapter 12 for this commission to feel comfortable in considering in a positive light the project that we have before you. And as Randy mentioned, and I will mention once again, you do sit as both as the wetland board in this matter, in the absence of the adoption of ordinances or establishment of boards in either City of Richmond or Henrico County. While this project impacts some 0.62 acres of non-vegetated wetlands, your staff has determined that, as proposed, the project will not negatively impact tidal wetlands or state-owned subaqueous land. The VIMS report has raised the issue of anadromous fish, and we have concurred in the staff recommendation for the time of year restriction to address that issue. This is a project, in our view, that keeps the right balance between public and private benefits. It's consistent with the public trust doctrine. It balances the benefits of the marina with commercial uses and other beneficial uses occurring on the river. It respects the marine and fishery resources of the Commonwealth through our commitment to the DGIF and your staff's suggestion, again, for the time of year restriction. And we believe the project overall enriches rather than impairs adjacent and nearby properties. It does not, in fact, impair water quality, as evidenced by the DEQ's correspondence, and does not impact or affect in any way submerged aquatic vegetation. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to stop there with the hope that you all will consider this in a positive way and act to issue the permit. I do have individuals here, and we'd be pleased to answer any questions you may have at this time.
Thank you, Counselor. Any questions of Mr. Daniel? Mr. Fox?
I would like to hear from the structural engineer about the structural integrity of the...
That would be fine.
Here.
This is Coy Butler with Moffitt and Nichols.
Butler, come forward. You raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Fox, do you want a direct questions, or did you want a generalization of...
Well, in general, how did you choose this this system, what alternatives did you look at? Is this just the most economical to fit the deal, or is this the best to fit the deal?
Well, this...
And how are you going to handle the 200-year flood?
There are multiple ways to moor the floating dock system. One, which is the typical that you see a lot, is the guide pile system. And in this case, you would end up with a 40-foot-high pile sticking up, plus your 7 feet of water. Structurally, it's a very flexible system, and it's a very difficult to design at that height economically in there. You could have a very large piles and do that and work. The second system that is used a lot, and it is very frequently used in lakes, where you do have a high fluctuation of lakes as a flood control lake. And that is a mooring system consisting of either chains, wire rope, or et cetera, tied to anchors. System works very good, but it doesn't have a lot of significant strength in it to address the currents, because they are generally done in there. This system is sort of a hybrid system, and it is very structural in the sense that I've got a steel member that is my structural support. It's tied directly to the dock. It rides up and down on the dock with a hinge at the dock and a hinge at the pedestal. And structurally, it gives you a great chance to do something with your anchorage because you are on the bank in dry land and in relatively good condition. Our original design, which is actually advantageous to us from a design standpoint, is that we have a very directional load. It is only coming in one direction, at least as far as the current's concerned. So we can then adapt our load directly to that current. We've gone through the process, starting with the FEMA and the Corps, looking at the levels and the discharge flows in this section of the James, and confirmed some currents. Not to correct Mr. Owens, but I think it is 10 feet per second, not 10 knots. There is a little difference in there, and which is reflected in the FEMA charts. We have used that as our design loading condition, and based on that, using the Navy procedures in their mooring design manual, developed our loads, both for the debris part of the system and the dock system, along with the boats. Now, there is a restriction that we're going to place in there, in that after a certain level, the boats should be removed. And so in the severe flood condition, we're only designing for the dock and the debris deflector. This allows us to minimize our structure, and it's an operation criteria from an operating standpoint. But then the structure is very determinant, and the analysis of the structure to suit the loadings can be accommodated with the standard engineering practice as far as the design of the stiff arm and the foundation system. We are investigating with some additional soil borings on the bank to look at either ground anchors or mini piles as our support for this, and the anchorages won't be just a mass of concrete but a structural system that is anchored down.
Further questions? Mr. Box, follow up.
Do you have 35-foot elevation on the flood, does that take into account the fact that Richmond now has flood walls that may channel the water, and if the water, if channeled, would go higher and maybe faster?
We are downstream from the flood walls.
Right.
And we are in a actual broad flood plain. The bank across the river becomes a large contributing to our flow capability or our cross-section of the river. We have actually applied that discharge rate and looked at that elevation with the overtopping on the far side, which I think is into the city sewage treatment plant and applied some coefficient for that and addressed the velocity, and our velocities are still concurring pretty close to where we are on that. So actually, from that standpoint, we are very close to what the FEMA calculations for that.
Thank you.
Mr. Schick?
Yes, you were saying in extreme situations the loading is really set for the structure itself and not the vessels. What steps will be taken and as far as for a storm, storm procedures and removal of boats, where will that happen? Is there an on-site dock master, that type of thing?
I'll
Mr.
Daniel,
anybody
else answer that question?
Thank you, sir.
I think I can help you with that. We are developing the as part of the agreements with slip users or lessors, the safety precaution and evacuation plans, which occur at various levels. The good news about the location is that you know almost, well, 72 plus hours ahead the kind of flow that you're going to be getting. So you've got, unlike in a lot of circumstances, you get a lot of notice, and so you can judge your removal of the boats. But everybody will, in fact, at certain times, if flood levels get to heights where the additional drag on the anchor system itself is such that the boats will impair its ability to do its thing, they will be asked to move the boats. We will provide the names of pilots and others who can move that in the event of non-residents. But everybody will be required to provide all sorts of contact information so that that shouldn't be a problem. Of course, sometimes people don't.
Mr. Schick, follow up.
One problem with floating docks is overloading the dock with a boat larger than its capacity. So I guess that will also be written into the contracts.
I'm sure it will, and as I indicated in my more formal comments, we had all sorts of different size slips to try to accommodate what is expected to be the both resident and transient traffic that will use that as a berth.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Daniel. Is anyone here opposed to the project? If not, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action, keeping in mind that we have two votes to make sure that the items are properly addressed. First will be the wetlands aspect of it, of the matter.
Chairman, I move we take
Mr. Holland.
We take staff recommendations on the wetlands matter.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item before the commission is the subaqueous permitting.
Chairman, again.
I'm sorry?
You indicated you were
going to
frame
that
for this?
Yes.
Second vote.
You
said next
time. I have those days too, Bob. and it's getting to be one right now. Mr. Holland.
I move we take staff recommendation.
On the subaqueous permitting? Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dr. McConaughey. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We will be in recess now until 1 o'clock for lunch.